You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast, and this is Smooth Ride. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Smooth Ride podcast. I am Alisha Sachdev. In this episode of the podcast, I'm going to speak to Audi India's head Balbir Dhillon about its debut in the Indian luxury EV market with the e-tron. Listen to the episode for details and features of the car and what's coming up in Audi's electric roadmap for India. Thank you so much, Balbir, for talking to me for the Smooth Ride podcast today. And I hardly have to say how excited I am to talk to you about the Audi e-tron, especially because it's only going to be the third luxury EV we're going to see in the country, right? And the first, of course, from the Audi brand in India. How excited are you? We did see the drive test reviews coming yesterday. You were mentioning just now that the coverage has been good, but considering the luxury EV market and the EV space at large in India right now, there probably couldn't have been a better time to bring out this product, right?
Absolutely. So we are super excited about launching the e-tron in India. And you would already know that we are not just launching one e-tron, but more than one. And this is the beginning for us. E-tron is not just one model for us. E-tron is a brand for us. And we will be in the future also launching more models within e-tron as we move on. So this is, super exciting time. And you would also imagine that we have been extremely careful in doing what we are doing. So we have been working all this while for many months, and I would say a couple of years together. Right. So that when we launch the product, and we launch the right product, and we also offer the best services to our customers, because at the end of the day, it's a new concept for India, and more people are embracing this concept. And we have to be extremely positive, careful, that in the beginning, whatever experience we are giving to our customers will become our brand ambassadors for these cars, and then we eventually sell more and more cars. So we are very, very excited about this.
Right, and you do have to do everything right, because like you said, it's a new concept, and the first few models really are going to pave the way for how EVs and luxury EVs are also perceived in the country. So on that point, you said that the e-tron is going to be not just one model. We're going to have more than one model for now, and there are going to be four more to begin with. Is there a timeline for that?
Well, you'll have to wait for the new models announcements to be made. I can only share that we'll have many more models to come in the months and years. You could already see many models Audi globally launching in the e-tron world, and many of these models will also make their way to India. So yes, let's take at this one step at a time. It is very
but,
important.
But you'll
not
give us
do.
A sense of when we're likely to see more.
I mean, first information you will receive during this month itself. And I'm sure in subsequent months, you will also hear from us what else we bring into India.
Okay, perfect. So we'll leave the timeline of these launches at that for now. But talking about the e-tron then again, since this is a product, in India, we know that, the charging infrastructure at this point is not the most developed. There is hardly any visibility around, if someone was to take the car on a, long journey. So there are those anxieties which still continue to play. But given the segment you're going to play in, one would imagine that they may be slightly lesser. So, really at this point, what can you share about the product itself and how well it is suited, to Indian roads, to the Indian temperament even, because you're going to launch an SUV at the end of the day. So it needs to also perform, as well as an SUV, luxury SUV does, besides being electric. So there are a number of expectations to be met and these apprehensions to be overcome. How does this product and, the Audi brand do that?
So you have asked many questions. Firstly, on the infrastructure, I think contrary to what you just mentioned, the infrastructure is developing and growing at a much faster pace than we could imagine. There are a lot of private players that are coming into the infrastructure space, and it is developing quite fast. And I'm sure when we will launch this product, we will also come in with some infrastructure from our side as well, because our partners will be able to charge the car. So it is growing with every passing day. And, this is something which is going to be a pool of charging points where, we will not limit the charging to only e-trons. I mean, and so does everybody else has to participate in this journey. So this is very important that the infrastructure is developing much faster than we all anticipate, number one. Number two, when it comes to luxury EV space, you are right. I believe that we are going to, this is a journey. This is not a destination. And, you know, the first topic is for me is not the number of cars that we're going to sell, but the experience that we're going to give to our customers. So we have to be, you know, very mindful of what we are doing. And we know that this will take time. We are not going to reach huge volumes from day one. It will be a journey, and but the journey has to be successful. That is more important, and journey has to be enjoyable. That is equally important. So that is what we need to be very careful of. So this is, I think, it is important that we just not look at what volumes we are doing, but we have to look what experience we are giving. So that's that's the feedback. Of course, the last question that you asked, how Audi's e-trons would be different. So I can only tell you, you know, we have been one of the most successful manufacturers in SUV space, and we are bringing the first e-trons that are SUVs and, you know, in two body shapes that we're getting these cars. So whether it is the range or whether it is the more practical car, whatever you call it, but all of these parameters are at top of our mind when we were doing our studies for last, let's say, about 2 years, so that we bring in all the cars which are most suited for Indian conditions, whether knowing that while the infrastructure is definitely growing, but we still have areas where you need the rear roads are not good. But all these cars are capable of handling this, whether it is comfort inside the car or whether the ground clearance or WLTP range. And last but not the least, I must also mention it is not just why we're bringing these cars is also because they are globally successful. We are the largest EV sellers in Europe as far as the European manufacturers are concerned. Fair. So we have a lot of success of these models elsewhere, and that also will help us become successful automotive manufacturer as far as the electric cars go in India.
Correct. Sure. So definitely, I mean, you have operated in other markets before, and that experience has got to inform a lot of what you will do in India too. Can you quickly walk me through some, you know, key features of the e-tron right now? Because really there is that, you know, sort of interest, you know, in the product right now. So who better to hear it from? So whatever you can share at this point.
So a couple of things I think I already mentioned. One is, of course, the range, which is one of the biggest, I would say perception on electric cars is about the range anxiety. So when a car can give you more than 400 kilometers, which is our 55 Quattro variants on both these models, that gives a lot of comfort factor for customers when they want to own these cars. So whether they are wanting to move within a city or intercity, this kind of range is quite a comfort factor. That is the most critical one. Then obviously I can talk about 0 to 100 in 5.7 seconds. The thrill of driving, the fun to drive these cars is at a different level. And the equipment level that we're going to provide on these cars, whether it is in terms of infotainment system or it is in terms of the comfort while you're sitting in the car, either driving or sitting at the back, is best in class that we could think of. There are also, you know, one of the most important things which I also would like to mention is that, you know, this is a car when it is not being pushed, not being driven, it also recuperates, it also regenerates the energy, and it actually increases the range when you put the brakes on the car. So, you know, there is a lot of technology behind this model, which will also help our customers, feel much better while they drive these cars.
Right. And of course, we'll have to wait for you to tell us the pricing on the car. But, by all measures, it is going to be a pricey car. So how many are you planning to sell to begin with? You did say that, you know, the focus at this point will be on the experience and not in how many cars you manage to sell. But there must be an initial, projection, you know, that you're working with, given the size of the market currently and, what you've seen the competition also been able to achieve. How much are you likely to be able to sell?
Well, again, I don't want to put a number for the volumes. Whatever our customers will demand, we will get those many cars. Yes, also what you mentioned about the pricing of the cars, yes, they are still fully built units, fully imported units, and they still come at the highest possible import duties. So that definitely is a deterring factor. But you have to also see that some of the state governments are also giving exemption for exemptions from registration of these cars, the registration
cost.
Right. So there are, and also, you know, the GST on the electric cars is 5%. So there are also positives, but of course, there is definitely highest import duty that we end up paying. But our customers, you know, the initial customers are also the first movers, and they are mindful of the cost of these cars. And we also anticipate that our customers will not be the first time buyers. They would already own certain cars in India, and this could be their additional car in their family. So we are all looking forward toward this. And they also know the benefits of going electric. I mean, it is just about the cost. It is beyond the cost.
Definitely. And, you know, on the point of, you know, import duties as well, while there are, you know, very attractive benefits for domestically manufactured EVs of certain kinds again. And, you know, of course, it depends on the kind of vehicle also that you end up producing. The cost factor does play a serious role in terms of determining what the offtake is likely to be. And on these products, you know, when the cost, you know, shoots up tremendously because of these import duties. Great. So the focus is clearly on the right things. And like you said, it's a journey. So, you know, you have to start somewhere. Yeah. And this is the point where you start. And again, starting off, what expectations does one set from a luxury EV SUV? You know, because like you mentioned, you know, that there are apprehensions around range, there are apprehensions around charging. You know, it has to, of course, deliver as an SUV standalone too. How do you sort of, you know, characterize these expectations, you know, from the buyer that you're likely to attract for this product?
So, first and foremost, you know, whatever a customer expects from an Audi SUV is going to be also available in this car, which is very, very critical for us. Whether it is drivability, experience, you have the car is quattro, so, you know, the car can be taken anywhere. This, when it comes to charging, you can understand we're giving 11 kilowatt charges will come standard with the car. You can put it at your home or your office. It can be charged overnight in 8.5 hours, but it is also capable of taking DC charging of up to 150 kilowatts, which can charge the car in, up to 80% in less than 30 minutes. So there are all these possibilities. We have charger on both sides of the car. And okay, this is about the peripheral, but basically when you come to an SUV, so all the infotainment system in the car, the ease of drivability, you know, or you can take an SUV anywhere, which is on road or off road, or also on the tracks. Whether it is you know, high torque that you want through an SUV, or comfort of sitting at the back, the luxury feeling that you want to have, or you know, the space that you want inside your SUV. So all those things will come along with the car as expected from us by our customers.
Right.
But at the same time,
ease
of charging is also coming along.
So, no, definitely, that's critical. And I think, the, you know, what I meant to ask really is that, is can this be treated as an everyday car? You know, how do, you know, EVs, you know, play really on the minds of customers who buy them? I mean, are they going to use them regularly? Are they going to be taken out fairly regularly? What is the response, or, you know, in the studies that you've done over the last couple of years, what were you able to make out of this tendency?
So very clearly, it is an everyday car. It is not that it is supposed to be an additional car which you use sparingly. For us, whatever feedback or feel of that we have, this will be, this is a car which is going to be used on a daily basis by our customers. So if let's say you're living in a place like Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, or Chennai, or Kolkata, for example, normally a daily commute is around maximum 200 kilometers in a day, or less than 200 kilometers, mostly. And these, the and once you come back to your home, you put the car onto charging, and the next day morning, the car is ready for another 400 kilometers. So that is the comfort level that you get with these cars. So they have to be used just like any other car. Also, when you go to a long distance, obviously, you have to plan your journey. You, even if you go in normal ICE engine car, you also need to plan to fuel your car, and you have to plan to charge this car. And there are charging points available across the country and growing. what we need to give a comfort to our customer is where can he charge the car so that he can plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. That we will do. So as far mm-hmm. as driving the car is concerned, again, it is a daily using usable car, which we expect our customers to also use. And last but not the least, you know, at some point in time, you also need to see the cost of fuel while we are mostly selling still.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
It is, may not be the big issue for luxury customers, but at the end of the day, you're using electricity. It's a sustainable model. So we, you know, that is another angle which one could think of.
Correct. And you're right. I mean, you know, it's not a deterring factor, one would imagine, you know, for a luxury customer, especially, but it does play a role in sentiment for sure, you know, because there's conversation around, you know, fuel prices constantly increasing. So one tends to talk more about EVs and, you know, seriously consider EV options, which really brings me to ask you, you know, about your ICE portfolio as well. We have, of course, you know, seen that in June onwards, you know, as far as the COVID situation is concerned, things have become considerably better. Have you seen that reflect in sentiment, you know, for your cars as well, for your other cars as well? And what was June like in terms of sales for you?
So you're right. Once we started opening up from, let's say, from the middle of June, there is definitely a lot more pull in the market. We are seeing sales growing. We are seeing inquiries growing. We are seeing walk-in growing, test drives. So every aspect that relates to eventually ending up selling a car is growing much fast. But of course, it was not a complete month where the performance could happen. So we only had a couple of days and still, you know, depending upon which market you are, some markets were still closed till the end of the month. But overall, we are seeing a very positive sentiment. Of course, we don't share the monthly figures. You can only see yearly figures from our side. But it is definitely a positive trend. And we see this month also, we're doing very good numbers as far as sales is concerned. But most importantly, you know, all of our dealerships are open. All our workshops are open. So if any of our customer wants to come and service their car, we are available. They can book the appointment online through our app or through phone, whichever is comfortable to them. So that is more important, so that existing cars are taken care of. Sales is also growing in a good way for the last couple of weeks, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So there's both workshop as well as sales traction that has started to come in now.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, maybe, you know, before I wrap, then again, just to elaborate on the sentiment aspect, you know, when I have previously also spoken to another luxury car maker, you know, what I've got to hear is that, you know, while people are definitely compromising on the things that they want at this time and focusing perhaps, you know, for the moment on their needs, it does not really take away from their desires at all. And so therefore, the traction that luxury cars see sort of carries on unbroken. Is that something that you've also seen for Audi? And after the second wave particularly, how would you say this sort of recovery or a bounce back, so to say, in the market was different from what we saw last year or at the end of the second wave? I mean, how sustainable now do you think the demand picture looks?
So I would imagine the demand to pick up for sure, because, you know, most of our customers are by and large businessmen, doctors, chartered accountants. So, you know, fairly people who have arrived in their life, you can plan their life well. And, you know, you'll have to see from that point of view. And
that's a great way of putting it. People who've arrived in their life. Yes.
So, I mean, people who can plan for the future. So it is important to mention this, because this is mostly where our customers, you know, belong to. Yes, we were much better prepared in the second wave, and it was also shorter, no doubt about it. But, you know, these are the times where you're not traveling internationally. You also need to move out. The personal mobility matters more than, let's say, when you have to move together with somebody else. So, I think it is going to be a good demand even this year for the balance year. And I only hope that there is no third wave. And obviously, festive season also upcoming, we should see a positive trend going forward. So we are very, very optimistic. We have lined up many product launches in the second half of 2021. And we are really looking forward towards launching all these products starting this month with e-tron.
Fabulous. So, of course, if new products are coming, that does speak to the confidence that you have in demand as well. So, I think that's a great note to end on. Balbir, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing all of those details about the Audi e-tron. We're, of course, going to look forward to the price announcement, and I will hopefully catch up with you again when you can talk more about the product and your plans for launching further EV models in the market. But thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Alicia. Thanks to you, as well as good wishes to all the viewers, all the listeners, and wish them good health from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Balbir. With that, it's a wrap on this edition of the Smooth Ride podcast. Thanks for listening in, and now we're giving you a chance to be heard as well. In case you wish to give us any feedback, suggestions, or have a question, please do write to us on cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that is cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. Stay tuned in to CNBC TV18 for all the latest news and updates.